Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We pray the Holy Spirit of the living God would take hold of our words today and our conversation and bring us to an intended place in the kingdom in our understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. I want to begin today's broadcast. I have two or three very powerful points we want to make today, but I want to begin the broadcast with a little writing that a dear friend sent to me recently. And this ought to really capture our attention and guide us where we need to be on this day. Who owns what is the title of what this letter is. And it says this: the first law of supernatural prosperity is this. God owns everything. You do not own anything. You only manage what God loans to you. A billionaire died recently, and someone asked how much he left. A wise man answered, he left everything. You don't own your children. They are a heritage of the Lord, Psalm 127:3. You don't even own your own body if returns to dust at death. You don't own your spirit, for it also returns to God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine. The only possession you have is your will. You can say yes or no. This is why the greatest decision you will ever make is to say yes to God. What if you used your will against him? Let's say you were walking down the street one day and a tiny ant crawled up out of a crack. You said, let me walk by. And the ant piped up, no. What would you do? Wham! You would stomp your foot down and that would be the last of the ant. You and I are ants in comparison to God. The stupidest thing we can do is refuse to do our Father's will. Don't say no to God by insisting that everything he has entrusted you with is yours. It's not. However, God has given you the privilege of managing his possessions. What an honor. A song says, if all I have belongs to him, then all he has is mine. That's the truth. The Bible says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. God has placed you here on earth to see how you are going to manage your inheritance. Say yes to God. Trust him completely with anything he has given you. If you have not done so already, acknowledge his total lordship over everything that is yours. The key verse today is Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. What a terrific way to begin the day, to know and understand that we have a gift, and that gift is life, and we are thankful for the gift of life. And to recognize that nothing is ours. This radio station certainly is not the Lord's. The house we live in is not the Lord's. The cars we have, it's not ours. It's all the Lord's. Let's get it right. So anyways, that's the way I wanted to start today, and wanted to say good morning to all of our friends on Facebook today. Welcome to the broadcast. We're launching out into the deep. And by the way, for those of you that are tuned in right now, we had a little bit of a complication with sending text messages out to different people that were on the in our contact list. And so what I did, because I wasn't able to delete, I just deleted everything. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you are interested in receiving a text every morning to remind you that we're coming live on the air, just give me an email. Send me an email or a text and say, here's my email address, here's my text message number, and I would like to be informed daily, Monday through Friday, of you coming on the air, so it just kind of reminds me to do so. So if you would like that, we have a email address. It's vxavier777@gmail.com. That's vxavier, vxavier777@gmail.com. Just let me know that you want me to add you to a list, and we're going to rebuild those lists. We've got approximately 700 people in Messenger that are following the ministry right now, which is terrific. We thank God for that. And if the Lord launches out and he wants that to be something beyond, so be it. But we need to have it ordered. And so that's the best way I can do it. You send me a text or an email. Let me know you want to be on the list, and I'll certainly put you on one. And then every morning, about an hour before the broadcast, I'll launch out and let you know that we're coming live on the air. Now, in about 25 minutes, Patricia will be joining me, and we'll spend the remaining 30 minutes of the broadcast talking about some things. I received a wonderful message from a brother that was listening to us, obviously, yesterday, I think it was. And he wrote me and basically gave me a gentle warning that I needed to be careful about saying that the rabbis killed Jesus. And I wish I had it before me. I probably do here. And in his message, he was simply saying, we live in a very volatile world where anti-Semitism is rising around the world. And to suggest that the rabbis murdered Jesus Christ, which is something I did say, was not a right thing to say. And I know that there's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff going on in the world. And so I simply replied and said, well, I have a little bit of Jewish blood in me, which is true. And I love Israel. I've been to Israel on several occasions now. I love the Jewish people. So I don't have an issue with talking about things. So my question back to the one who wrote this, is it anti-Semitic to acknowledge the Jewish people and their rabbis and leaders, some of them, not all, that they were the betrayers and murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that anti-Semitic to say that? Well, if it is, then the Bible really is anti-Semitic. And let me explain. In Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was addressing the crowd before he was stoned, he wrote this, and he was talking directly to the descendants of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who became Israel, his name. And in one of the verses, he says this in Acts 7:40, Acts 7:48. Listen very carefully, and then I want to address this just for a moment. He said, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? So this is Stephen talking to his Jewish audience, to rabbis, leaders, Israelis, okay, Hebrews. And then in verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You were circumcised somewhere else, but you weren't circumcised in your heart or your ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. He's referring definitely to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and went into the wilderness, right? And so he's talking to their offspring. And he said, your fathers did the same thing. They always resisted God. Verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been. Now, what did they do? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one. So he's saying the prophets before you, before Jesus showed up, were telling them he was coming. But they what? Of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. So it's very obvious that Stephen, writing to the Jewish people, the rabbis, the Sanhedrin, you know, the leaders of Israel that were so jealous against Jesus, these people, all right, just like their fathers were against Moses in the wilderness, that he called them the betrayers and the murderers. Now, that cannot be anti-Semitic to say that, because that's what the Bible says. Now, there are some Jewish people that want to kind of bring a Jewish understanding, like the Tanakh, and they want to rewrite the New Testament because they suggest that the entire New Testament is anti-Semitic. Now, having a little Jewish blood, loving the Word of God, loving the forefathers in Israel, I mean, these are the facts. I understand, as I wrote to my dear friend, that we all are the cause for Jesus Christ going to the cross. You are, I am. We're all the reason why. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory. He became a ransom for all of us. I get that. I know that's true. His blood, you know, was shed for me. But when the Jews were crying out, crucify him, crucify him, and they cursed themselves, they really did, when they said, his blood be upon us and our children. You know, that wasn't an intelligent thing to do. Now, I also realized that many of the Jewish people that were claiming to be the descendants of Abraham really were imposters. They weren't. There were people from the, as I understand it, the Edomites. They were from the seed of Esau. They were kind of a copycat. They were a contradiction. They were a counterfeit. They weren't the true Jew. That's why Jesus said, if Abraham were your father, you would believe in me. So they had taken positions of power. And yet with Stephen, he's talking directly to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by their resisting. They did in the wilderness, for the most part, do that, obviously. And so he's connecting the Jewish people and calling them betrayers and murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not anti-Semitic, the truth. It is the truth. It is the fact. You know, we may not like it. It may be uncomfortable. We may say, man, that is an infamous history. We'd rather just sweep that under the carpet, but we can't do that. But nor are we suggesting that because that happened, that all Jewish people are evil. That is not the case, because we're all in the same boat, so to speak. But there was a fact that the rabbis and the leaders of Israel in the days of Jesus led the people to crucify Christ. Yes, it was intended, just as it was intended for Judas to betray him. In the book of Psalms, it was already written that one would rise up and betray the Messiah. I don't know if anybody volunteered for that, but the fact is, it just absolutely happened. People, it was fulfilled. The prophecy was fulfilled. So to my dear friend, I want you to know, I am not anti-Semitic. I love Israel. I love being in Israel. I love it. These are kind of a little bit of my blood, right? Just a little bit. But in the spirit, I've been grafted in. So I'm not here to slam Israel at all by suggesting that the rabbis are not always that trustworthy, because they're not. You can't trust rabbinical teaching altogether, particularly when it contradicts scripture at whatever level. So again, thank you for the thought about that. And I thought I would clarify my heart with you. So God bless you. And let's move on just a little bit. There's a prophetic word that came out, and I want to read it to you this morning, and it is titled, Few Will Be Ready for the Magnitude of What Is Coming. Around 4:30 a.m. this morning, as I was praying and listening for anything that was on the Lord's heart, he said this, and this is from another individual I'll share with you in just a moment. Here's what the Lord said to this individual at 4:30 in the morning as the vessel was seeking the face of God. She heard the Spirit say, I desire all men to repent, but many will not. Regardless of what I do, many will persist in wickedness. Therefore, I have no choice but to judge. My judgment will come swiftly when men are not expecting it. Few will be ready for the magnitude of what is coming. Many will say, oh, it's always been this way. But no, what I am going to do will be of a greater magnitude than before. And when I judge, you will know that I, the Lord, God Almighty, am displeased with man's actions, with man trying to assert my authority. I love man, all mankind. I love my creation, but I am a holy God, and I demand respect. I will not tolerate this blatant hate and disrespect towards me any longer. I love my creation, and I long for all to repent, but few will. Few will. Repent now, while there is still time, so that I may have mercy on you. Then later this morning, around 9:30 a.m., as I was driving, the Lord said this, the times of the Gentiles are drawing to a close. Soon it will be time for all Israel shall be saved. Then I shall come to set up my earthly kingdom after all my enemies have been put under my feet and made my footstool. Those liars, those usurpers will be utterly defeated. But first there is the great war over all the earth for the soul. The souls of mankind, excuse me. The enemy is in an uproar. He is fighting for all the souls of man. For he hates me and everything about me, but he is already defeated. Have I not said it in my word? I have. I not only have spoken it, and so he, the devil, is defeated, but he believes his own lies. When he tells others he will win, he believes his own lie. That is the danger of walking in lies and deception. Those who do start believing their own lies. What I have said is how it will really take place. Do not believe the enemy's lies. He is vain and his imaginations that are not real. They are lies. So seek me, seek my word, seek to walk in the truth, so you will never be deceived. For I am able to keep those who seek my face and seek to walk in my ways, and I will keep them. Then the vessel said, this word reminded me of this scripture. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then the vessel said, I implore you, all of us should fall on our faces before the living God of all the universe and ask him to forgive us and to have mercy on us and on this nation and all the earth as well. Like Daniel, we should repent often for ourselves and our people and rend our hearts and not our garments. God has been so patient with the United States of America and all nations around the world, but what the Lord has written will happen, even as he has said it, it will. God has been patient, giving people everywhere time to repent. So let us repent while there is still time, and the Lord will have mercy on us. That was written by Sandra Hyde. Her name is Sandra Hyde, and she got saved at the age of 5, but strayed as a teenager from ages 15 to 19. Then at the age 19, she was radically saved and her life changed forever. She was called by God as a prophetess around age 21 with a similar calling like Jeremiah and Ezekiel 33 watchman call. And she has operated often in the Elijah, John the Baptist anointing. For about 20 years, she did missionary-like work in the U.S. with her husband. As the Lord directed, they traveled to many areas of the country doing whatever he asked as best as they could until 2010. Since that time, the Lord has had her in intercessory prayer mode and doing many behind-the-scenes missions. So that is the vessel that actually wrote about this. And I want to shift again just for a moment here. And I'm not going to go into the article, but it speaks about Turkey is ready to go nuclear. Okay, so Turkey has been siding with Russia, and it's an excellent article. It's from Prophecy News Network, and you probably want to get a hold of that. So, good morning. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition, as my dear friend George always says, Elder George. There was a book that I looked at many years ago, and it was titled The Reformed Pastor. The Reformed Pastor. It was an excellent book. It was about the ability of a man who had been in the ministry for many, many years and had finally come to a place in his life where he realized this is not the plan of God. And he got caught up into, you know, his denomination's tunnel vision of scripture. He got caught into different things in his personality and his conduct that he just didn't feel were mirroring the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote a book about his transformation and the reform in his spirit so that he could become a true minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, what blessed me about reading that to this giant, he was a giant in the faith, this man of God, is that it's never too late to change. It really is never too late to change. For the individual that calls upon the name of the Lord that would go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's never too late. And I, for one, will always appreciate the fact that we can change daily, one day at a time. This is a journey. We have been broadcasting for a long time on radio and different places, and it's been a privilege, an absolute privilege, to have been on the air, to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it doesn't sound like good news because we always talk about the last days, the end times. But this message that this woman just shared, okay, Sandra Hyde, the message she just talked about, and the title of it again was, "Few Will Be Ready for the Magnitude of What Is Coming." And if I could show you the screen, the picture that they applied to that, it's a dark earth. It's a dark sky. It's stormy weather. It's barren. It's a wasteland. The picture is very clear. What kind of judgment, what magnitude of judgment would really hit this earth where God would demonstrate his power, his ability and authority? I'm leaning, once again, very heavily towards Amos chapter 8. The Lord God said, "I will darken the earth in the clear day." And I'm trying to wrap my mind around that. I will darken the earth in the clear day. And everything inside of me, in all of my personal experiences, which are but dust, we are nothing but really, genuinely unprofitable servants. But everything inside of my dust tells me, and I do believe we have the Holy Spirit operating within us and the Word of God, that the Lord really is preparing this earth for something. And he has really given time to the inhabitants of this earth to get it right. And he is a God that loves all mankind. We believe that. If he loves us, he can love anybody. But we also have been studying and reading that God said about this planet, now think about it, that the planet is groaning under the inhabitants of the earth. It's sick. The earth is a living organism. Remember we were talking about this a few weeks ago? The earth is a living organism. Think about it. God created the earth with an intelligence. The earth gives water. The earth gives food. There's an atmosphere. I mean, God did all this. And the earth seems to have some kind of an intelligence. I think that's why they called her Watch Out for Mother Earth, right? So the intelligence goes all the way back to Cain murdering Abel. You remember when that happened. And when Abel's innocent blood hit the earth, Cain could no longer grow anything. It literally tells us in the scripture that the earth would no longer produce Even if Cain had the best seed in the world and the richest soil on the earth, it would not produce for him because the earth had taken in the innocent blood of Abel. And God says throughout Scripture, you go back to Leviticus and Old Testament passages, that the earth, the land, was literally vomiting out the inhabitants because of their grotesque defilement and sin. All the way to the book of Revelation chapter 11, the very last verse where God says, he who destroys the earth, God will destroy. So God seems to have some incredible interest in this living organism called earth. Man was literally made out of the dust of this earth. So the earth is very important to God. And we are living in a time in one generation, even though these things have happened from the beginning of time, one generation, we have slaughtered, mass murdered innocent blood all over the world. I mean, not only through murder, not only through, you know, the crimes that are committed towards one another through war and drug abuse, I mean, you go down the line, but just abortion itself. Now think about it. The earth would not produce because of one man, Cain, who murdered innocent blood for him. We murdered by law. We passed a law. I want you to really get this. We passed a law that it was now legal for a woman to do with her body what she wanted to. And that means since the fetus was growing on the inside of her, she deemed it as her own. And if she wanted it dead, she killed it. What was the fetus? It was tissue, blood, and cells. And what was in the blood? Life. Where does life begin? In the blood. You could call it conception. You could call it anything you want to, 28 weeks. Life is in the blood. And when the fetus is made up of blood, cells, and tissues, to shed that blood is to shed the most innocent blood. You've heard this argument. But what we're forgetting is that the earth cannot stomach this kind of death. I mean, how could it? And yet we've sponsored over 500 million abortions worldwide. This isn't to condemn women that have had an abortion. They need to confess and repent and turn to God, but don't make an excuse for it. And don't say it's okay to do, right? So the earth is groaning. And what will God do to protect his earth? He seems to love the earth. I know he loves us, right? He tells us all the time. You know, he loves us. We're his highest form of creation. I get that. But yet you destroy the earth, God will destroy you. So what is it about this earth that God has such an intensity for, a passion for, that he tells the inhabitants, hey, don't defile it. It will vomit you out. Just like Jesus said to lukewarm Christians, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I know we've heard it. I know we've talked about it, but we're not, it doesn't seem like we're getting it. And I think we just need to, you know, go a little deeper, let people know that the Bible actually says these things. And now we're polluting the earth all over the world. I mean, you have Muslims going around the world, chopping people's heads off, trapping people in cages, beheading people. I mean, it just goes on down the list. We have wars going on everywhere. Venezuela, Hong Kong, persecution, protests, murder, bloodshed, active shooters. I mean, 1,300 people still missing from the Bahamas. I mean, the earth is convulsing. The wildfires, I say, in California a year or so ago represented the fever that the earth had, right? And these wildfires are all over the world. The volcanoes that were erupting in Hawaii and in different places. This is just like a burping up of the earth. Can't stomach it anymore. The violent earthquakes that we see taking place that are more to come, definitely. And all these different hurricanes and shakings. This is the earth in convulsion. The left wants to tell you it's about, you know, climate control. Well, it is climate being controlled by the wicked works of man upon the earth that is causing the earth to respond. Do we not understand the earth can't stomach it anymore? And God says at some point he's going to step in, right? Well, what would he do to bring a magnitude greater than anything we've known before on the earth at this time? Well, to me, he's going to darken the earth in the clear day. When men think everything is okay, when You know, the soft wind is blowing from the south, and the sails are set, and they seem to achieve their purpose. It's then that God brings them into the storm. And it just appears to me personally that God is warning in our generation, like we've never heard before, from every sector of society, from the experts in government and security to science to, and from the pulpit, that the earth is ready to go dark. I mean, wars and military powers are forming allegiances and alliances. And the Bible predicts a massive world war, unlike anything we've known before. World War I, World War II, combined together, is small in comparison to what this World War III will look like. And is it possible that man's corrupt desire, the depravity of his soul, his heart, his mind, his unwillingness to bend, his total willingness to defy everything called God, how does a government, how does a Supreme Court, how does a judiciary in the United States of America pass laws that they, being the intelligent people that understand who we are as a nation, how do these intelligent people promote laws and pass laws that offend God? I mean, so blatantly and in your face. And then how can we walk around on this earth and say, God bless America, God bless America? How do we do that? How does anybody do that? How do you put that together in your thinking, in your mind, that the Supreme Court of the United States, two blasphemous laws are promoted, abortion, shedding innocent blood to the tune of 80 million in this country, and then homosexual marriages, lesbian marriages, giving place. You know, it's not going to be LGBTQ anymore. It's going to be LGBTQP. Very soon, because it's not just the lesbian, gay, queer, transgender, but it's going to be the pedophiles that are going to be accepted in the nation next, and their rights are going to be protected. You watch and see how gross this is going to become. But my question is, how could anybody that has the mind of Christ, knows the word of God, accept the information that God's going to bless America for what we have done? Don't you find that somewhat impossible? I mean, to a repentant nation, to a repentant person, yes. So, yeah, it's the same conversation. I get that. But you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And we need to have faith in God's word, not only in what he's going to give to us, but what he's ready to do, so that we can prepare and be ready. I wonder how many times God had to talk to Abraham, the father of our faith. How many times did God have to go back and revisit the conversation with him, to readdress him, to re-encourage him, to reestablish him, to continue to do what he was doing? How many times Gideon's behind a wheelhouse saying, Lord, if it's really you, I need a fleece. There are doubts that rise up in men's hearts, and God has to come back again and again and reveal his purpose to his people so that they can be properly prepared. I'm having a hard time believing that anything but an EMP would be the next event on this earth. Now, Patricia Joy Xavier is joining me today, and so I'm going to bring her beautifully into the conversation and say hello, Patricia. How are you?
Hello, everyone.
And welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you that are listening today. May you understand the power of his love. My husband woke up this morning and said, what should we minister on today? And, you know, I just went blank, and then all of a sudden, the words came into my heart, the power of his love. There is no greater, more pure love that has ever and will ever exist except the love of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is amazing what happens when you find it. It changes your life, it changes your circumstances, and brings a confidence you never dreamed possible. Folks, it's the only answer. I've been through many different so-called counterfeit loves and many different so-called religions, and they have been counterfeit. This is the true and only power. This is the true and only love. It is not counterfeit. It is a reality like no other. Please hear my plea to you.
Patricia, when God says that in the book of Revelation, you actually taught this last night in the Church of Philadelphia, that there would come a time that people would actually come with bended knee to those faithful saints who were, you know, depleted in resources. They were very weak because they really didn't have all the people necessary to get the job done that they wanted to do. So they were really struggling. They had a little strength. You mentioned that was powerful. And yet the people would come with bended knee and say and admit the fact that God loves them. And then we read in the scriptures that, you know, God puts down kings that come against his people. Touch not my prophets, do my people no harm, that type of thing. So is it unloving for God to step into human affairs with such evil and wickedness, not only being promoted, but acted out on the world stage, and for God to say, hey, I love my earth, I love righteousness, I love the people, and in my love, I'm going to respond to what is evil and wicked. Is that a part of God's love as well? Or is love basically saying, well, I love you too much to discipline you, break you, judge you, and bring you low?
Well, he loves what he created. He created all things, and he created you and I. And it is just as a parent would be. A parent, when they see their child being abused or in any manner brought to a place of great destruction, what would they do? Even if the child was running across the street and a car was ready to hit them, as a parent, you would move swiftly, you would move fast because of the love you have for your children. There is nothing like the love of our Creator. He created us and we are His children. And in the same way we love ours, if you have any clear mental concepts of life, the same way we love ours, He loves us in a manner in which we could never dream possible.
Okay, so what I would like to do is address what we're talking about with the people that are out there that, you know, we're talking about love. It's not emotional, quite frankly. It's not a feelings-oriented thing. But if you love us and if we love you, then sometimes what love does is it corrects and it admonishes and reproves and rebukes. And I understand the other side of kindness and joy and all of that. But I need to ask for the people that, you know, maybe you think you're say that you love us. Are we safe? Are we safe in this ministry right now by declaring the events that we see? I mean, and it doesn't take a wise man to look out at the world today and say, wow, we are in trouble with God. And yet there, all the days that go by, you know, it says in Ezekiel, with every passing day, the vision of the prophets, it seems to fail, but he says eventually, well, now there will be no more delays. In other words, are we safe in our ministry of presenting the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with this aspect of warning people to prepare for the judgment that will fall? And are all these voices that are coming out, like the woman's prophecy we heard today, that few will be prepared for the catastrophe that is coming, are we safe, ladies and gentlemen, with this kind of presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And Patricia, do you believe that we are safe by declaring the righteous judgment of God upon the nation in a time where God will darken the earth in the clear day? Do you believe getting ready is God's love, or are we outside in La La Land? Where are we?
God gives true justice. He is the just one, and what he wants is justice, and he wants justice because it is pure and perfect work if it is truly by love. And that's why I think I heard that word, the power of love. The Lord gave me something that I wrote down quickly that I want to speak on to the people that are listening. And it's the difference between what is true and what is not true. Satan tries to diminish the influence of God's love by counterfeit love. True love heals and affects spiritual growth. False love destroys. The false love can never be satisfied and is forever regulated to the prison of addiction, of sex, gambling, alcohol, relationships, love, shopping, eating, electronics. Name your poison. It is all there for a false love.
Let me just interject on that real quick. You just read that false love destroys.
Yes.
And yet we just read in Revelation chapter 11 that God will destroy them that destroy the earth. So God's love is not false. God's love is true. And God will destroy those who destroy the earth. And it will be motivated by love because God is love. And sometimes I feel like because we preach the message of the coming judgment that somehow we are connected to the gloom and doom. And I don't see it that way at all. I believe that Jesus Christ said that there would come a time of the beginning of sorrows. There'd be wars, famines, pestilence, which would hurt and kill a lot of people, that would march us right into the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And yet the desire of the saints is come quickly, Lord Jesus, bring your kingdom, let righteousness rule in the earth. We're not here just to see destruction and doom. We just know that that's coming. But on the other side of that is the glory of God that will manifest in the earth. Isn't that what we want?
Mankind self-destructs. He says in his scripture that if you destroy this land, I will destroy you.
Right.
What does he mean by that? He means that if you do that which is evil, if you allow that which is wrong and evil in your life, you will pay the price. You will cause yourself to be destroyed. And this is the way it works in my way of thinking and always has. The false love craves the perfect body. Let's look at individuals who are in love with self. The false love is self. And it craves the perfect body, the perfect home, the perfect career, the perfect family, cars, vacations, all of these things promise to fulfill, but leave the core of the person starving for the truth. When you don't have truth operating within your mind, thoughts, and soul, the only thing that could come is the working of Satan with a counterfeit love. Do this and you'll get love. Do that and you'll get love. And it's all destructive, self-destructive. And true love doesn't parade itself, according to scripture, because it's not searching for anything. Because true love already knows it is loved. And when you really know you are loved, you need not search any further. And that love is the power to change your life, to bring peace and joy. It is the love of Jesus Christ. And where does that true love emanate from? From the one who gave his life for us. And the only true love there is, Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father who created us and wants justice for us, wants us to live incredible lives of empowerment. The power of love empowers you. It gives you ability to overcome anything or any affliction within your life, including sickness and disease, mental illness. You need not run to psychiatrists when you have the true love in your life, because the true love will always heal and make whole and bring a reality that is not false. Once you have truth, and that is Jesus Christ, you have it all.
So an individual can receive what you're saying, the love of God, which was demonstrated in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is God's love demonstrated for the entire human race, to whosoever will believe. We have fled to the cross and the Christ of the cross. We have done that. We've done that absolutely by the millions around the world. And so I go to God through his son Jesus, and I recognize that Christ's death on the cross was God's love towards me to forgive me. So I can intimately, personally Know that I'm loved. Know that I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a recipient of the grace and the mercy of God, the goodness of God. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir. I get all of that. That is rich and wonderful. But now that I have that inwardly and personally, and I've come to the conclusion that God does love me, but I could only experience that when I confess, when I repent, when I receive by faith and experience this love, to know that I'm forgiven for what I've done. But when you live in a world where they are daily blaspheming, openly, on purpose, blaspheming out of Hollywood, the Lord Jesus Christ, promoting the most evil and wicked of things to sear people's minds with, that our government is promoting laws and concepts and ideas that are godless and blasphemous and offensive to God. Are we saying that God's love overlooks all of that, and that we who have fled to the cross should stand back and not have anything to say? Like, you know, the gentleman that wrote me today, you know, you should be careful about what you're saying because it could sound this way, anti-Semitic. And I straightened that out this morning. But should we be silent of what is happening in our world today? And isn't silence, according to the book of Proverbs, an admission to what is evil? And so we're all different, but doesn't love constrain us to speak out against what is evil and to declare like the prophets always have, or just the apostles or disciples, of the righteous judgment of God?
To watch injustice is an incredible pain and hurt. But love wants to bring forth truth to set that injustice free, and that justice would rule again. We had justice in this nation. Not that it was perfect, but we understood justice. It is the just heart of God to want to bring back his people, or all people that he created, under his great arms of love, and protect them and cause them to be brought into a life of health and faith and beauty. This is what he created in the beginning, until the great counterfeit, Satan himself, came forth. And these individuals are being deceived. We understand and know that it is the great deception. And we've been told by Christians in the past, but also by the word of God, that in that day it will come forth and it will have manifested a great work of the counterfeits. And we see counterfeit everywhere. Counterfeit love, counterfeit justice. It's all counterfeit and deceptive. Satan is now in position of rulership.
Okay. Now, with that being said,
on the earth.
Yeah, correct. That is correct. I have come to somewhat of an understanding in my heart what we need to be doing. Why are we on radio right now? Why are we on this video on Facebook? What are we doing here? Why? What is this about? And I believe that God has spoken to my spirit, and it's something that I'm really going to have to make an adjustment towards in everything that we're talking about. And I was reading, and I've been studying the book of Timothy lately, and I was in chapter 2 this morning, and I want to just read a few verses that I think will be self-explanatory for what I'm talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Wherefore," two more verses, "I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Last verse. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So I put these scriptures together in my mind and I thought, Lord, this is a powerful instruction that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all in authority. And the reason why, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life. And then I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Patricia, it dawns on me, and I know it should have been a dawning a long time ago, that the only right thing for us to do as believers on this earth is no longer, you know, speak the same thing about what's coming. I believe everybody sees what's already here as a sign of the beginning of sorrows and where that's all leading to, which is the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Knowing that, understanding that, it's time to pray. Continually pray. I want to pray for people out there. I want to pray for people. And something I said on a program yesterday is we all want to know the God of our healing, Jesus, the great physician. We all want to know the God of our blessing and prosperity, the God that provides for us. We all want to know the God of our protection, that he'll protect us. But we also want to know the God of our perfecting, the God of our perfecting. Okay? I believe that it's time to pray for healing and protection and blessing on God's people, but it's also time to pray for the perfecting of the saints, according to Ephesians chapter 4. It's time to pray for wholeness of spirit, soul, and body. I was talking earlier about the Reformed Pastor, the book that I had looked at years ago, many years ago, 15, 16 years ago. And I think the reform in our ministry or our life, the reason why we're launching out is really to begin to pray. We need to pray for kings, those in authority. We need to pray for the body of Christ everywhere. We need to be making intercession, supplication for God's people. And maybe this is the moment where God is saying, I want you to live a quiet and peaceable life. I believe, in other words, the prophetic has fulfilled its course. The declaration of what's coming has fulfilled its course. And maybe it's time to condescend and to back off and, you know, just begin to pray, intercede, supplicate, so that God's people can do what? Make it through what they already know is coming. We want to pray for you today. We want to intercede for you today, that right now God is going to totally take over your life and guide you and lead you into victory and success to be an overcomer. Not success and victory to have the world's goods, so that your innermost being will be so transformed by the renewing of your mind and my mind.
Amen. I agree.
That God's people will come to an inward Absolutely. Success of divine likeness to the nature of Christ.
That they would begin to know, learn, and understand the power of God's love, not only for them on an individual basis, but the power of his love to love others as you love yourself, which is his commandment. His very first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is going to be challenged in these days more than ever before. But this is also an opportunity to come up to that level of perfection. And everybody says, well, we can't be perfect. Yes, we can. The word perfect means complete and mature. Complete and mature in what? Complete and mature in his Holy Spirit, that he has granted unto us, that we may be led and directed in the right way. It is time to learn the power of love as we have never loved before. It is time to remove the counterfeit love that we have been involved in, even if it is a small amount left. We must learn the power of love, and we must express ourselves to others in the same manner. With this, we will be led perfectly in the days we are in, and those that we reach out to will be touched in a magnificent way, because the power of love literally brings forth and outraids power and light. Light to understand, light to have wisdom, light to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's the word of God. It is time to pray in the manner of, Lord, fill me with your love. Fill me with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Cause me to be everything you created mankind to be, made in your image, not in the image of a counterfeit love, but in the image of true love. Will it be sacrificial? We say it is. And it is to an extent, but the rewards are so great it doesn't feel sacrificial. So please, come on board. We pray that you will. We pray that you will understand that you are a mighty army that God has raised up in these last days. The strength that he will give you will be beyond your understanding and estimation. It is time to grab hold of the hem of his garment and rise up to your position. And whoever you speak to, whoever you talk to about this great love, will know that they're hearing the truth, because that light will emanate from you like no other counterfeit light. And there is a counterfeit light. That is those who think they know the truth, but truly don't. So they use other means to express that, but it never really has the effect that it should have. God bless you.
Amen. Great word of exhortation. I completely concur. It's time for all the brokenness in the body of Christ to be made whole. It is time for those who have been on the backside of a desert to get their instructions and be released to do what God calls you to do.
Amen.
You see, every one of us are unique. Every one of us have a different calling, and we're not made the same. We are so uniquely different with personalities, and our personalities have been damaged because of sin, but God is cleaning them up so that he could shine himself through each one of us. There's no doubt about that. And now it's time for healing, restoration, the blessing, but the perfecting. You see, I truly believe that what we desire more than anything that will produce everything else is a maturing. And Patricia, that's what I remember. That's what perfection is all about. Yes. It's about the cultivation of our maturity. What is maturing? The seed that was planted in our heart by which we were born again. That seed contains the full and complete divine nature of God himself that was in Jesus Christ. And the maturing of that seed in us until it takes over like a little leaven, leavens the whole loaf. Well, this little seed of that divine nature of Christ is to overwhelm and overtake every part of us. And we have to find the proper nutrients, the proper watering, the proper everything to make sure that that seed is cultivated and grows properly into a full-blown man-child ministry. We've got 60 seconds left on the broadcast today. Patricia, your final thoughts.
My final thought is the word perfect, as you had mentioned, maturity, and you just represented it well. But it also means completeness. And what is that completeness that is being expressed? It means, as you said earlier, wholeness. Wholeness of spirit, wholeness of mind, wholeness of body. In other words, your spirit becomes animated fully by the Holy Spirit. Your mind becomes the full mind of Christ, and your body becomes healed and whole. You are whole.
Amen. Patricia, we're going to have to pick that up another day. That's a powerful conversation. Tonight, we'll be back in your book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and we'll all be gathering around the roundtable discussion, which, by the way, is up right next here. Remember, please put this on your calendar, October 13th to October 20th. We are hosting the Feast of Tabernacles. We are receiving donations from anybody that would like to help us prepare for the feast. We've already received some really cool donations. Thank you so much. And for those of you that support this ministry, thank you. God bless you. You could go to our Omega Radio or nwmglobal.org to see everything about the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm Vincent Xavier. This is Patricia Joy Xavier, my better 4/4, 3/4, 4/5. Right now, omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's happening right now. God bless everybody. Shalom.
See you at the feast.